everybody to the May 19, 2022 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. We've got a lot of people to recognize tonight. It's a really exciting night, and I would like a roll call, please, to get us started.
Mr. Ferguson?
Present.
Mr. Keck?
Present.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now if you'll all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, I would accept a motion to adopt our agenda this evening. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we have some excellent recognition to take place here. I'm not sure. I don't see. Is Dr. Atkins here? Okay. We will start with the Mr. Gallagher is going to share some information about Dr. Phil Atkins.
I can, here we go. I just want to take a few moments this evening to recognize Dr. Philip Atkins. I have the distinct honor of recognizing him this evening as the current director of the Mental Health Recovery Board of Union County. Unfortunately, he will be leaving us. And I want to thank him for his dedication and contributions to the students and staff at Marysville Schools and the Marysville community at large. Around the state of Ohio, many schools do not have the kind of relationship that we do with our Mental Health and Recovery Board, and that is due to the tireless work of Dr. Atkins and his team and the work that they do for this community. Over the years, we've had the privilege of working with Dr. Atkins on a number of projects, including but not limited to the implementation of the PACS Good Behavior Game, which builds strengths in our young persons, the Signs of Suicide Prevention Program, the development of the School Navigator model and toolkit for the state of Ohio for the delivery of school-based mental health services, and even the Mosaic Project, which has allowed us to expand youth access to behavioral and mental health care. It's speak of the devil. So I just wanted to take a moment to say, Dr. Atkins, we cannot thank you enough for the work that you have done for our school and community over the years. Your presence will surely be missed, and we wish you the best on your journey. And as an act of gratitude, we would like to formally recognize your service to Marysville Schools this evening. Thank you so much, Dr. Phil.
I know a lot of the good things that happen here are a result of the partnerships that we've worked to create with them, so really appreciate that. Next up, we would like to recognize our SRO officers who were recently promoted and into some other positions, but go ahead, Mr. Langhouse. We have Officers Petzinger and Dillahunt.
All right. Officer Joe Petzinger is up here. Joe has been with us since 2015 and was with us as an SRO at Marysville High School until 2021. And he earned a promotion. So, heard so many great stories about Joe over the years. Been involved in some situations with Joe over the years, and he always had a calm, cool approach to things that was focused on best interests of kids. And he always put his heart out there for kids to try to help. So we definitely want to say thank you so much, Joe, for everything over the years, and keep in touch. All right. So let's give Joe a round of applause. I mean, Josh Dillahunt, he's been involved with the school district even longer than myself. I mean, Josh Dillahunt, he's been an SRO for the school district from 2016 to 2022. Even before that, he was involved in the DARE program at Creekview Intermediate and just always have been a strong partner of the schools, especially a strong trainer and educator in regards to ALICE training. You're a tremendous resource for this community. We congratulate you on your upcoming promotion as well, and you will definitely be missed. So let's give it up for Officer Josh Dillahunt.
Thank you, Officer Petzinger and Dillahunt. Just another wonderful partnership that we have here at Marysville Schools with our police department, and these two guys have had a great impact on our students and community. And now we are excited to recognize 15 retirees this year, and I was noticing the number of years of service, and combined they represent 289 years of service in our district. So an average of 19 years per employee, give or take a little bit. So I know that not all of them could be here this evening, but I would like to read off the names of all of our different retirees. So I'm going to start with Jeff Ankrum. Jeff retired in March of 22 after 9 years in the district. He started in 2013 as a substitute custodian and quickly became a full-time high school custodian in 2014. Suzanne Claridge. Susie retired in April of 22 at Bunsold Middle School after 23 years in the district. She started in 1999 and has worn many teaching hats since then, including 6th to 8th grade science, 6th grade math, 6th and 7th grade social studies, and she was also the Creekview Science Department chair for 3 years. Pam Felix is here this evening. She is retiring at the end of this school year and has served the district for 6 years as an occupational therapist starting in 2016. And I think we'll, go ahead and clap. But why don't we maybe wait till they're all up here and then go through the line? Okay. And then we'll just shake hands all together, okay? Sharon Flick. Sharon is retiring at the end of this 21-22 school year. She has been with the district for 21 years as a special education aide, starting in 2001. Sharon has worked in different buildings over the years, including Navin, Mill Valley, Creekview, Bunsold, and Marysville High School. Pam McCracken. And Pam is retiring at the end of this year after 16 years in the district. She started in 2006. Pam has been a special education aide for us and has worked in the following buildings: Creekview, Bunsold, and Navin Elementary. Connie Miller. Connie retired in January 22 after 24 years in the district. She started in 1998. Connie started with the district as a substitute cook and substitute custodian. She then began full-time with us as a custodian at Marysville High School and continued her career as a custodian with us for over 20 years at Raymond Elementary. Courtney Potts. She's retiring at the end of this school year after about 22 years in the district. She was my son's teacher. Courtney started her career with us at Edgewood Elementary and then moved to Navin, where she's finishing her teaching career with us. Ann Rausch. Ann is retiring at the end of this year after 28 years with the district. She started in 1994. That's when we moved back to Marysville, Ann. She's taught math, social studies, and science at three of our buildings, including East Elementary, Creekview, and Bunsold. She's currently teaching at Creekview. Since you're here. Greg Roars. Greg retired in November of 2021 after 21 years in the district. He started in 2000. Greg started with us as a substitute teacher and worked hard to become a full-time intervention specialist with the district, starting at Mill Valley and ending at Creekview. Terry Roman. Terry's retiring at the end of this school year after 24 years in the district, having started in 1998. She spent most of her teaching career in our elementary schools, including Mill Valley and Navin Elementary, along with a short stint in Creekview. She was also a babysitter for me, so I have a few little personal connections with some of these staff members. Crystal Ropp retired in January 2022 after 19 years in the district. She started in 2003. Crystal started with us as a substitute aide and secretary and worked her way up to full-time special education aide in our buildings, including Creekview, Mill Valley, and Bunsold. Christy Rowland. Christy retired in October 1 of 2021 after 18 years in the district. She started in 2003. She started with a short stint in the Library Media Center and then returned to the district in 2003 at Central Office as our front desk receptionist. Christy later transitioned to the Human Resources Department and was HR support upon her retirement. Christy and I were show choir moms together. Tina Chirac. Tina retired on December 1st, 2021, after 6 years in the district. During her time here, she served as well as our transportation director for the district. She started in 2015. Bill Thizen. Probably nobody knows Bill, right? Bill is retiring at the end of this 2021-2022 school year after 28 years in the district, serving as the high school band teacher and band director. He started in 1994. And Nancy White, she's retiring at the end of this 2021-2022 school year after 24 years in the district. She started briefly as a substitute teacher for the district and was quickly hired full-time as our family and consumer science teacher. I think Nancy is maybe best known for her cinnamon rolls on senior breakfast day, something like that. So yeah, we're gonna, hopefully she passed along the recipe and the aptitude for making those cinnamon rolls. But congratulations so much. I mean, 289 combined years of experience. I just can't even imagine how many students you've impacted and how many families in our community. So we appreciate you. right, and now we get to recognize our Employee of the Month. So I would accept a motion to approve Terry Sproul as the Classified Employee of the Month for April.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Keck, second by Mr. Smith.
Perfect. Terry, if you would come on up to the stage. You weren't expecting that, huh?
No, I wasn't. We were chatting saying hello.
You're fine. So it's my privilege tonight to read the comments that your peers made about you and why you're deserving of this award. All right? So this is Terry's first year in our tech classroom, and she has done a phenomenal job. She has learned the students' names, created various STEM activities, in addition to teaching them the tech curriculum. I am pleased with her desire to improve and be proactive as she has progressed through the year. The students love her, not only in class, but for the awesome way she interacts with them during lunch. She's a wonderful addition to our school, and I am thankful for the opportunity to work with Terry every day. So congratulations, Terry.
And now to make it official, could we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Did you want to just, I think,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes.
You said yes, good. Just want to make sure. Yeah, a couple people got mixed up there. I say yes as well, so the motion carries. And one more round of applause for Terry. And for public participation, I do believe we have some public participation here. All right, so ladies, you can approach the podium right there, and if you'll just give us your names and addresses, then you have 3 minutes to address the board.
Good evening, we're here representing Marysville FFA. My name's Megan Morey. My address is 23999 Yearsley Road, Marysville, Ohio.
My name is Macy Powers, and my address is 7229 Mingo Lewisburg Road.
So we're just going to give you guys a bit of an update as the community holds a very large role in our organization. So starting off with our newly elected officer slate, we have Macy Powers as the president, Emerson Trapp as vice president, myself, Megan Morey, as Sentinel. Our reporter is Lily Cunningham. Our treasurer is Cooper Woodson, secretary Libby Ramsey, and student advisor Ava Pratt. So recently we had our yearly banquet, and we recognized the year awards and accomplishments and welcomed Morgan Anderson, a state FFA officer, to be our keynote speaker. The chapter also attended state convention, where Ava Pratt and Emerson Trapp were awarded with their gold rating for secretary and treasurer books. Macy Powers, Emerson Trapp, and Matthew Volrath were awarded with their state degrees. Our welding team placed second in the state. Myself, Megan Morey, placed in second individually in horse judging. We had 13 other CDE teams compete throughout the year, including a new meat judging team, which we have not had one in over 10 years.
We have also, this year, we've also had 8 new middle school FFA members. We are a gold-rated FFA chapter being forwarded into the national competition. We've had 62 students who have earned industry credentials just this year. We have had our activity called Food for America, where members went to Creekview to teach fifth graders about where their food comes from. We are expecting a busy summer between FFA camp, Washington Leadership Conference, summer enrichment activities, and home visits in the Union County Fair. We are excited to come back in the fall and give you more updates. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, next up we have a presentation from Creekview. Are we doing that one first? Okay, Mr. Canale.
Perfect, thank you. Good evening. It's always a privilege to talk about some of the wonderful things that are happening at Creekview Intermediate. Our teachers and our leadership team have done an outstanding job over the course of the year. We want to talk about tonight just three innovative curricular decisions that we've made in advance of the year. We want to talk a little bit about our MTSS process that we're so proud of. And we want to talk as well about some of our literacy innovations as we prepare for next school year. I want to turn it over to a very talented instructional coach, a gentleman that has absolutely moved the needle with teaching and learning at my building. So, David Hensinger.
Hello. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to kind of share our story with you guys tonight. I had a clicker ready to go. It's not working. So, James. Next slide, please. I'm just going to kind of fill in some of the details on what Tim spoke to you guys about. As you can see up here, one of the big things that we really wanted to do, Amplify Education had put some research together. They went and identified a lot of the 10 basic topics in 10 different content areas and 88 different topics that are frequently assessed. So basically some common knowledge that they believe students should kind of leave education knowing these types of things. So we took this research and we built that into our ELA department. And basically what we did was we identified those 88 different topics and we matched those with our habits of mind. So the respectful, innovative, and success and excellence. And we built units of curriculum around those different topics. And the idea that we would help build that core knowledge and it would help emphasize the vocabulary development in our students. And all of those things are things that we were really focusing on the past couple years. So it was a great opportunity for us to really put together some research out there in the field and put that together with our habits of mind and kind of our branding of our school. So we're really excited about this. This year we rolled it out. We're going to continue to grow it and make it even more strategic for our students. And we're excited to see kind of where that goes as well. I'll talk here in a little bit more about how we're attacking vocabulary in our building as well across our entire building with our content literacy plan, which I'm super excited about. And I don't really want to steal my own thunder here, so I'll get to that in a second. So next slide, please, James. And on the next one here, we're going to talk to you a little bit about our math MTSS revision. So this year we were able to serve 188 students in a Tier 2 program where students who we identified through our MTSS process. So basically we've used the flowchart that you see there, which is a diagnostic flowchart that we use to identify students who are moderate risk or high risk and need additional supports outside of the classroom for mathematics. So those 188 kids we serviced this year, previous years, we were not able to service as many. So with a more sophisticated MTSS process, we were able to service more kids. We were actually able to remediate 45 students and exit them outside of our program, so you can see the benefits that we have from that. So students who were at risk, 188, we were able to move 45 more of them back onto on level. So that was one thing that we really wanted to really focus on this school year. We know COVID was a challenging time in education, and this was one way that we really wanted to tackle that piece through mathematics. So brought definitely a more systematic approach to our MTSS process. And the big thing that I'm really excited about is as we move through this, we'll continue to modify, adjust it, and our resources are going to grow around these supports. Right now, it's kind of a little heavy-footed, but we'll continue to make it even more powerful for students. So like in the previous slide that I shared, we're excited about as it grows and continues to mature. Next slide, please. Looking at next year, I talked already about how vocabulary has been a focus in our building, and our 612 literacy grant, this venture that we have here, which is our Creekview Content Literacy Plan, coincides with that grant work, but it's really something that we had kind of on the forefront of something we wanted to emphasize and move forward with. So we took 20 years of vocabulary research, and we've identified the key foundational pieces of what actually makes great instructional approaches for vocabulary. We've identified those pieces, as you can see there on the table on the right. I'm not going to get into the details on that. However, from that, we've identified 9 different engagement strategies and roughly 7 different in-depth teaching word learning strategies. So the idea that we have is we're going to have English language arts teachers, math teachers, unified arts teachers. Everybody will be provided professional development around those engagement strategies, around vocabulary words and in-depth word learning strategies. And we will be able to offer vocabulary interactions with students in all of the different content areas. So we started rolling that out already. Our ELA teachers are already trained around those engagement strategies. Basically, the items on the right side of that table, which are the intentional word learning strategies. And we've already trained our science and social studies department heads, and they will help train our science and social studies department next year. So we really wanted to have our teachers help build and produce and create this. And next year we will refine that as well, and we will start training our science social studies teachers, and unified arts teachers will be trained in January as well. So we're really excited to see how that will go. We also have a building-wide initiative that will emphasize vocabulary instruction as well. When we're just looking at just specific academic words, we're going to have some things over the announcements. We're going to have some other engaging activities that will get vocabulary at the forefront for our students and really build that word conscious, get kids excited about words and learning new words and interacting with new words. So this one, I'm excited to see where it goes, and we definitely are looking to create even better opportunities around vocabulary as well. Next slide. This is just a document that we put together. One of the big things that we have at Creekview is we really want to make sure that teachers, staff members in general, have a good understanding of what our vision is, and this just really articulates out what our entire plan is. I know it looks pretty cumbersome there, but the main point is we're really trying to be very strategic about all the steps that we make at Creekview. From the things that I've already shared with our curriculum innovations and our math diagnostics, we're really student-centered at Creekview. We're really thinking about how do we create a better learning opportunity for kids, and we're constantly diving back into our data and back into the research to identify how can we be more strategic, what can we do, and where does the science of education really land on all of these different topics to make things better for students. And then we articulate that vision and try to work the plan and modify as we go and make things better. So that's really what we have so far for you, or what we have for you guys tonight. If you have any questions, we're happy to answer anything that you may have.
I just want to make a couple comments, because I love this cross-curricular kind of approach and holistic approach. It just makes so much sense, and to me, it makes me, like, I'm going to be interested to see how the teachers respond to this, too, because it seems like it would be a really strong team kind of feeling, where you might be teaching math, but you also have a part in teaching the vocabulary, so... I love this approach.
Yeah, it does invest the entire staff. There's a lot of energy around it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I get excited about is the collaborative structures in our building. So this isn't my idea or David's idea. Mm-hmm. This is our teachers saying, what can we do? And we figure out the plan together.
Great approach.
Now, this isn't going to change your process for, like, independent reading time or, choice in books for students to read?
Great question. No changes to that process at all. This just kind of augments or supports vocabulary development.
Okay. A comment first. I like how intentional this is. I like the way that it's very measured. It's an early step that leads to another step. So there's a building process. And you have expressed that there's a constant evaluation as to, whether or not we're ready for the next step, but there's an overall goal of implementation. You mentioned that you had 45 kids that you were able to catch up out of, and I was wondering, were they reintroduced back into classrooms, or was this done in the classroom? How as they advanced and reached the point where they were self-sufficient, they were caught up, how were they reintroduced into the learning process?
Yeah, great question. I wish Ann Rausch was here, because I would say she actually, a lot of the students she worked with, because she provided some of these interventions, she actually would be able to speak to some of this. Really, what would happen in that situation is, once a student is identified, we're just adding additional supports. So they may exit the classroom like one or two times a week, and they'll be provided, you know, some more explicit instruction during that time frame. And then ultimately, we use our diagnostic information to determine if we need to continue that level of support with that child. And that would mean, you know, if we see, okay, they're on level on iReady diagnostics or some of our other measures, then we feel like the risk for them needing, or the risk levels for them have dissipated, so we no longer need to provide that additional support. So, yeah, they're always interacting with their peers, and it's just a small portion of their time where they get something that's specifically designed for their individual needs, essentially.
Yeah, I like and have always liked the individual attention and mm-hmm. how it's integrated into a classroom setting, and the social and emotional support, the interaction with the kids, the friendships that they develop, relationships
Absolutely.
With the teacher, and all those kinds of things get maintained. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's actually challenging to exit one of our programs, because we tend to want to continue our supports because we want to make sure that they're beyond where we really would like them to be honest. So the fact that we had 44 means that we really grew some kids.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, next we have some students with us here tonight. They're going to do a presentation on the Event to Prevent program that was a result. You want to talk about it a little bit, Diane? Or just kind of refresh our memories about where this came from.
Hopefully you remember several months ago I shared with you that we kind of had a unique opportunity fostered through some relationships that Mark has to really engage kids in the idea of making a difference and building agency. And so they are going to give you an update. It previously had been really earmarked at the college level, so this is an extension really to high school students in particular on how they can look for change and go about making change or improvement. So specific to their community. So excited to hear their update.
Okay. Hello. Yes, we do have a presentation. Yes. In the meantime, hello. We are the Invent to Prevent chapter from Marysville High School and Marysville Early College High School. And this year, through Invent to Prevent, we wanted to create an initiative known as the High Five React, which stands for Respect, Equality, Acceptance, Communication, and Trust. And my name is Gigi Bix, and I am a junior at Marysville High School.
Hi, I'm Parker Riley. I am a senior at Marysville Early College High School.
Hi, I'm Stevie Rajesh. I'm a junior at the Marysville Early College High School.
Awesome. And then there is the logo that actually our branding team was able to put together through those five different pillars. So to give you a little bit of background or some program overview, Invent to Prevent is run by the Department of Homeland Security and the McCain Institute. So through this, we are able to use their resources. This year, we were able to Zoom with some of the staff, and that's a really cool experience when you're given such a broad topic, such as reducing targeted violence in your community. So between the two schools, all of us students kind of you know, we're given this challenge, which was not easy by any way, shape, or form, because there's so many different things that you wanted to do. So with what we came up with, I think is great because it is able to encapsulate a lot of the things that each of us kind of brought to the table.
So our overall goal was to create a high school club that uses games and digital media to really promote pro-social experiences in elementary students and foster healthy relationships in our community. So our target audience are our peers and mentors and the youth who may be exposed to targeted violence. If you go to the next one for me, thank you. And so kind of how we broke it down is we decided to go full in and do kind of every aspect that we could think of. So we have our conversation starter game, which I will talk about. And then we have a consistent hashtag with our social media team. And then we have partnering with elementary school students, grades 3 and 4. And then we actually have a full website. And then our actual high school club. So if you could go to the next one for me. So this is our game that we created. So these are our 3 card templates. So it's for you, adults, and friends. And then one more for me. Thank you. So on the back of those cards, you have these prompts that are kind of thought-provoking and conversation starters. So where's a safe place for you? What makes you feel excited? And then one more. And so this was supposed to be like our rough draft idea of what our game board would look like, but I think it's pretty amazing.
Yes.
So
actually a student from Marysville High School, Shannon Cordell, she created this from a canvas. Yeah, it's very impressive. There's a wheel on there too. I don't know how she did it, but she's very, very talented, and we were able to take this to the focus group. Okay, perfect. So if you can, next slide, thank you. So with our trial group, we took 4 students and we traveled over to Raymond Elementary, and we were able to take the game with us and show kind of what we had produced. And so us leaders were able to organically turn whatever conversation that we were given, whatever prompt that they were given, and help them towards that conflict resolution. And so, you know, if they didn't quite answer the question, we were able to ask follow-up questions or kind of really dig deep into kind of that pro-social, interpersonal, you know, behavior. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see there's a picture of all of us. And so I got to make some new friends, which was really nice. I don't have a lot of third grade friends. So and so it was really, really fun. And every time that they spinned on and they got on a 5, we got up and we were like, all right, everybody gets high fives. So we all got high fives. And that was kind of a great way to get them, you know, if they were getting a little off topic or maybe not understanding the question so much and getting frustrated, we were able to kind of just get up and breathe and, you know, be able to really implement what we created through our initiative, which is the High Five React. And so going forward, we're thinking of using this game to kind of start with this mentorship program that we want to create. So we're hoping to continue a club because there's really not any that are implemented with the schools that I can think of in terms of grouping an older high schooler with a younger elementary school student and be able to use them for again, these conversation starter games, and through Invent to Prevent, which is really cool, we created all of the prompts from the Invent to Prevent curriculum website. So again, having those resources and access was very, very nice.
So I represent the technology team. We wanted to make a fully functional website so parents could see the curriculum of what we're teaching their children. It has an about page, and we paid attention to color and built a sort of brand from the branding team. We also build a social media presence, and we'll talk about that later. But so yeah, this is our website. We decided to have a picture of our team and a few of the kids so you could see what really is going on. In the future, we will add a digital version of the board game we built, so the parents could really get an idea of how the experience is. We have our mission statement and our social media pages all linked on there. So this is just a technology hub for our organization.
And so just a little bit more about our social media kind of networking. So we are active on Instagram, and that is kind of our way to reach out to our peers who may not be directly involved in this club and kind of, you know, reach out to the community and get more exposure. And so we also have our emails, and eventually it'll be Facebook and Twitter. And right now our social media is just a framework and kind of the bare bones ideas of what we want to implement and, you know, spread out and get our message across.
And if I can just add, I just think it's so cool. I don't go to school with these two men, but I've loved working with them and other members from my high school and from early college high school. I just think it's a cool thing that we're able to come together and put something positive out into the world. And so I'm really excited to continue this. What questions do you have?
Questions. How many total students were on this team?
15.
Yep. Okay. And how did you end up on the team?
So it was kind of, I don't want to say we were chosen, but sort of. How it worked at the early college is I received an email, and it was a list of people who the teachers and instructors thought would be a good fit for this program. And then kind of we just wrote a little blurb about how we felt about the project and, you know, everything that we wanted to implement. And then from there, we were chosen who got to be in.
Yeah, and I can confirm that was the same for the high school, too. Got the email, and we're able to kind of have a conversation about what this is and everything. So,
okay, thank you.
When did you all meet?
So we meet every Friday for about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's...
And when did we start? Was it March?
Yeah. Yes. So
we had a limited project timeline.
Yeah, so everything that we presented, we've gotten done in 30 minutes, one day a week for a month, basically. Yeah.
And they submitted their project yesterday.
Yep.
Excellent. I love this idea. I think it's wonderful. What was your personal reaction to how the fourth graders answered the questions?
I'm not going to lie, I was pleasantly surprised because I was really nervous that they would maybe not understand the questions or maybe know what we were getting at. But overall, I think it was exciting because it turned into, you know, oh, this is my favorite family tradition. I love opening, you know, presents at Christmas. And then somebody else would chime in and say, oh, we do that too. But, you know, sometimes we hide, like, the wishbone in the tree. Or, you know, there's different. It's so amazing to kind of see it have that ripple effect. And, you know, and then we, as the instructors, get excited. So I think we definitely fed off their energy, in my opinion, more than I thought that I would. So.
Yeah, it looks like you've put together just an amazing base from which to build. And I am thrilled to see the connection between the high schools and the elementaries, particularly focusing on the way that students treat each other and the issues and the problems that our students have, and the fact that it is being grown within our school district by our students, for our students, to me is the perfect approach. And I know there was a lot of leadership and there was some discussions and thoughts that went into all of the planning. You had to target some kids that you thought could actually get this taken care of. And I know when I was in your situation as advisors to a program, you always went after the kids that were busy. You know, the busy people get things done. And I know you've got hectic lives, but I absolutely marvel at what you've been able to accomplish in a very short period of time. And I would love to have you come back next year and let us know where you have grown the program.
Thank you.
And that was one of their questions. We're going to do this next year. And I'll just answer it and say yes.
Can you introduce your advisor, too?
Oh, yes. This sure. is Jenny Wanamaker, okay. Mrs. Wanamaker. She is an amazing math teacher at the high school.
And so from STEM as well, it is Mr. Orr and Mrs. Kula, who are both humanities teachers at the STEM school.
Great.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your work. You guys, you're the kind of role models that we love to see up here, and just it's exciting to know that you're developing those relationships with the fourth graders. They will remember that for their entire lives. It's going to make a huge impact on them. So really appreciate the work you're doing, and like Mr. Smith said, we look forward to hearing more about it in the future. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see, we are now up to our reports, and Mr. Cox is with us this evening to give us the High Point report. Hi there. I don't think it's on yet. Push so the red light comes on.
Hey, I'm on. All right. Can you hear me? Okay. We had a 5-year planning meeting last night, budgetary meeting, and so that was an opportunity to talk about a lot of different things. So I've added a few things into the report based on that. Real quick, a construction update on the main campus. They're about 8 weeks behind. The biggest challenge is going to be integrating the kids into next school year while working around construction crews, but they're confident that they can make that happen. There is an open position in auto tech at the Early College High School here in Marysville. They've really struggled filling that position. They've got one candidate they're talking to, and also Dr. Smith is meeting with Honda representatives this week to see if possibly they can get some assistance there. But if you know anybody with an auto tech background, there's a great opportunity at ECHS for them next year. A few updates on the school. So here at Bunsold, I think it's awesome that they've got an ag program up and working. And if you look on page 2 of the report, that's actually going to next year have a half a resource will be dedicated to the ag program here. So it's awesome to see that growing. And speaking of growing, they've planted sweet corn. So they've got several varieties planted, and they're going to be at the Ag Appreciation Night at the football game this year, they'll be roasting that corn, so we'll all get to take advantage of that. A couple of other updates. High school, Footloose was amazing. I hope you all got to see it. Loved it so much. We saw it twice, so that was great. Supply chain management, so unfortunately, I don't have the results, but 10 students did travel to Atlanta and to compete in the International DECA competition, but hopefully I can give you some results on that by the next meeting. ECHS, Allied Nursing, students completed their clinical experience as part of their STNA training. And then in engineering, 3 students actually competed in the Skills USA competition. Again, I don't have the results of that, but hopefully we'll have that next month. So High Point Main Campus, just a couple of updates as far as next year. 349 juniors have been accepted for next year, which is a 19% growth year over year. There are some open positions. Again, if you know someone that might be a qualified person for a school counselor, social studies, intervention specialist, and an educational aide are all available at the main campus. So awards, so Marysville students, actually, we've got Jose Rea and Lillian Skaggs, who were among the top 15 students at ECHS this year, and so they received that recognition, and they are Marysville students, so that's pretty exciting. A couple of other things. I talked about this, I think, in an earlier report, but I thought it was, again, worth mentioning that there are some resources being added here for Marysville next year, one being at ECHS. Health sciences will move from a half day to a full-time resource here at ECHS, which is great to see that program growing. Bunsold Agriculture, again, adding a half a resource here. And then looking at the 5-year plan, there are provisions in there for at least one more and possibly additional resources here for Marysville because of the anticipated growth within the district. So it's good to see that there is some pre-planning there and that they are prepared for that. One of the things we had a lively discussion last night about was the admission policy at the main campus for High Point. I'm new to this, so apparently it's been when a program is oversubscribed, in other words, they have more students than they have spots, they do currently have a merit-based system that will allow kids to enter that program, or the 25 kids or whatever it is to enter that program. So in a recent audit, it was deemed that really doesn't meet the federal government standards for equality of opportunity. And so that is currently being reevaluated. And again, it was a pretty lively discussion last night. But ultimately, they'll probably be moving to some kind of a lottery system in the future that would give that equity of opportunity. So that was one thing, that change that is upcoming. Obviously, it's not going to affect the incoming class this year, but looking at the following year and beyond, that will impact that. So that new policy will be in place. So that is what I have for you all tonight. Any questions?
Any questions?
Nope. Outstanding.
Okay.
Thank you all. Have a
great
night.
Thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate all the information. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Ms. Allen.
All right. I have several things. I wanted to give you a little enrollment update. This May, we are currently at 5,412 students. So in comparison to last May, that's still an increase of 226. So we've kind of stayed in that little over 200 range of increased enrollment. Our kindergarten enrollment for next year has been slowing down just a bit to more about 40 kids roughly behind where we were last year. So it's in the 320 range. Additionally, East and Edgewood, I want to give an update on that. We had a design meeting last week. We did make some changes on the space and had conversations around when we're going back to occupy that space, the fire wall rating has to change in the areas we're occupying. So it did extend the square footage just a little bit. So we made some decisions about where that would fall. We do anticipate some tentative expense this month or early June. So I'll be able to share that within the next couple weeks. So we'll let you know when I get that. A reminder, graduation is Saturday at 7. We do have a makeup session scheduled for 10:30 Sunday morning. There is a plan to even offer a condensed ceremony if our window between rainstorms looks to be about an hour. They'll be condensing some opportunities, and not at the student's expense, but more adult expense. So that's okay with me because the night's about the kids. So otherwise, if it's a light rain, please bring your umbrella or poncho or whatever to stay dry. MVS, I sent a communication out and let all of you know that next year we will not be offering our virtual platform. We are working with parents to transition them back to their home school and also offering, we do have some unique circumstances where parents and students still require a different opportunity than a traditional school day. So we are engaging with a blended format in order to try to meet those needs. And that seems to be going well to date. I know you received a concern email, and we have worked with that family, and I think there's a meeting even set up again next week. So Strategic Direction Committee, we are nearing the final stages. Super excited about that. We did our first round of edits with the large committee. We're looking to get another version out to the committee tomorrow. We received some great feedback and made some edits, and we'll return that to the group, I think, tomorrow. And then our final meeting is really scheduled for next Wednesday evening, where we'll go over kind of that final feedback. I do think Mrs. Devine informed all of you that we will try to have a special meeting on June 6th, where I will go over that strategic direction plan with all of you prior to the June meeting, where we would it would be up for your approval. Also, quick update on summer school. We're over 500 students who are interested in summer school at the elementary level, so we're pretty excited about that. It's a two-week offering. You come 1 week or the other. Some students may be coming both, depending on some academic needs. We currently have 40 high school students enrolled, 35 students at BMS, and 20 students at Creekview. And this year, for the first time, both high schools are planning to do a summer bridge program for incoming freshmen. Traditionally, it's only been one building, but both will be planning that for next year.
Any questions for Diane? Okay, thank you. Todd, Treasurer's Report.
I don't have much. I would note that the May five-year forecast is on the agenda tonight for approval. Same as I presented last month, there's been no changes to that. One question that I have commonly been getting just from people in general is about, in the presentation, I did note that, we'll be looking for a levy most likely May of 23. And the common question is, well, what amount levy are we looking at there? And there's not necessarily a right or wrong answer, but, I think it's best as if we wait as long as possible to pick a number, because there's a lot of things that will change between now and when we put that levy on the ballot. So I'll be coming later in this calendar year with some different options, just kind of showing if we go with this amount of millage, what would the impact be? If we go with a lower amount, what would the potential impact be? So that'll be coming sometime later this calendar year. I would point out one thing that would have an impact on the forecast on the human resources agenda tonight is in my office, we've lost one of our payroll people has resigned, so we're actually going to be absorbing that position. So that's going to save the district around $40,000 a year. So that was a little bit of good news to try to help the forecast a little bit. That's all for me.
Any questions for Mr. Johnson?
Todd, and I've asked this before and I will ask this again. We know that we're going to need additional money, and I think you have said before there is no way we can make reductions in spending without significantly impacting the academic sides of our budget. Is that still correct?
Correct. I mean, the main reason why that is the case is because revenue is actually going down each year. So even if you said, well, let's cut $500,000 in expenditures this year, well, next year that's not enough because we lost another $500,000 in state revenue next year. So it would be a kind of a bad cycle to try to get into, because you would have to be cutting significantly every year as that state revenue continues to fall.
Thank you. For my report, we had a community coffee this past Sunday. Nan, you want to share on that?
Yes, we had a community member along with her son who is going through the Eagle Scout program, and this was part of his requirement to meet with a public official. And so we went over actually strategic plan information. We kind of went over what the process is for doing a strategic plan, kind of some of the challenges that the district is facing as far as growth goes. We reviewed kind of what our focus on academics has been over the years and talked a little bit about personalized learning. He attends Early College High School, so he shared some information back about what his experience has been like and where he's going to be moving forward in the future. So it was a great conversation with the community.
Wonderful. Let's see, we also had the Board Leadership Institute May 6th and 7th. Again, I'm really glad, I think, Mr. Cut, you were able to go on Saturday, correct? So all five of us were able to attend that, which I just think is amazing and really shows the commitment to try and become the best board members we can be. And I know part of our work plan is to share something that we've learned from the training. I know some of us had an opportunity, since we attended on the same day, some of us attended the same breakout sessions. I know I just want to share one quick takeaway that I had from the keynote speaker, Scott Daly of Focus, Focus 5 or something, and that was, he said, abandon self, embrace team. Talked about the power of teamwork and how it impacts problem solving. And also the importance of getting rid of what he called BCD, which is blame, complain, defend. And I just think, when we see some of the presentations here, it's a great example of that, the strength of teamwork in our district, really, between partnerships and within the presentation from Creekview as well.
Yeah, his presentation was amazingly impactful. A former Navy SEAL that is transferring the mindset of the Navy SEAL into community action or into business or into education. And you hit the two things that jumped out at me also. But he talked about how events and response creates the outcome. And as he talked about the response to events, he said you need to be disciplined. You need to be intentional, on point, and skillful. And really to kind of be able to do that, to be disciplined, you have to avoid what he considered the default actions, which were impulsive, kind of an autopilot, you know, when this happens, this is what we do, types of things, and to be restrained and thoughtful about your approach. Take some time to really consider what was going to happen. And as I was thinking over the challenges that we have faced as a board over the last couple of years, I think we, without knowing it, we were practicing at least some of these things, in that we tried not to make snap judgments. We tried to be thoughtful about what we were doing, very intentional about what we were doing, trying to always consider others, not those that just spoke to us, but those that were in our community that we knew were being impacted. He's the kind of speaker that for any setting, he was very uplifting and had an incredible message.
So just commenting on a couple of the sessions we went to, one of them was on having difficult conversations, and I think it was just kind of a good reminder that as elected officials, you sometimes have to have those difficult conversations, but it's not just us. I mean, it actually flows all the way down the system through every administrator, to every teacher, to every student interaction. So it was a good kind of snapshot reminder of, you know, stop, take a minute. Okay, think about what you're going to say before you go into having a discussion. If emotions run high, stop, reset. So a good kind of good reminder for everyone. And then also on district culture and student success, I'm always kind of delighted to find that in Marysville we're doing so many things that they're talking about, and we have been doing them for several years. Not that continuous improvement isn't necessary, that's necessary in every aspect, but there's so many things that they're talking about that we are already doing and we have already been successful at.
Yeah, I would add that I went to an ethics meeting, and one of the things that I wrote down, one of the notes was, end of the year, if a student brings the teacher a gift, that's completely proper, that there's nothing in terms of an ethics violation that occurs in that situation. So if parents are out there and you'd like to thank your teachers, you can do that.
Within reason, right?
Yes.
No
it state. Cannot yeah. be substantial.
Correct.
Or improper.
Correct.
But there is no dollar amount, so.
Yep. Thank you. Sure.
Yeah, I can share. One course that was impactful to me was the post-COVID, where the state of our students, and obviously the anxiety rates of depression are higher. But what I took away from that was more so our counselors, the roles that they play in our schools. And to me, it seems like they're doing three people's jobs into one. So scheduling, you know, advising with curriculum and classes, but also escalating any incidences that need to be escalated, and also conflict resolution. And so I feel like that's a lot for counselors, especially with the increased rates of anxiety, and also just trying to prepare students. We want our counselors to really be advising, because we're making career decisions, and our high schoolers are either going to the trades or college or military or whatever the career path is. We want to make sure they have that time to advise, as well as have the supports for our students and the families that they are associated with. So that was something that I was exposed to that I want to keep my eye on here.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's see. The last thing is just kind of a few comments about some of the end-of-year activities that have been going on. We had the Japanese National Honor Society and the regular National Honor Society induction ceremonies. And it's always great to see the students recognized for their academic achievements, but I know with the Japanese National Honor Society, each student gets a chance to make a few comments, and it's always heartwarming to hear them talk about their teachers and just what an impact that they've had on their lives and how much they appreciate them. Good to see the families there, all sorts of good things going on. Also had the last band concert with Mr. Thizen. It was awesome. And it was really neat because he invited past band director Joe Galvin to be a guest conductor, and also our new band director Steve Fannin was a guest conductor. I couldn't attend the actual musical, but I did get to see the dress rehearsal, and I couldn't agree with Mr. Cox more. I was just blown away. The talent of our kids is just out of this world. Their professionalism, their vocal abilities, their acting abilities. We had students build the sets. The sets were incredible. They're handling the lights and sound, so they're really getting to see the entire process. So we're setting them up for a really great future. Also had the recent choir concert at the high school. It was an incredibly moving event. They were honored Stella Abel, who would have graduated this year, but she took her life in 2018. They partnered with her mom, and they made the focus of the concert mental health awareness, and there were lots of resources there, and it was just heartwarming. So I'm just so proud of our students and our staff, and again, it's just that focus on the whole child and really wanting to partner with people. So great stuff. And that is my report. So student achievement report, Nan.
I forward you the Student Achievement Success magazine to everyone, and there are several articles in there that you might want to follow up on, items of interest. The one item that I want to focus on is Texas students connect with their Ukrainian peers. And it kind of reminded me, recently I listened to the podcast that the Early College High School has started doing this year. And it featured one of our staff members whose family is actually from Ukraine, and she has relatives that are actually there now. So it was a very interesting dynamic to talk about, like, real-time events. You know, it's not just something happening very far away. It's actually something happening within people in our community, too. So I want to give a shout-out to that podcast. There's maybe half a dozen episodes uploaded on YouTube. It's pretty interesting, and I think it's a great tool for the young people to get exposed to.
Yep. Nice. Thank you. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
Hopefully all of you received the report. On May 9th, we had a visit from Senator Reinicke and Representative Tracy Richardson, Marysville, and we toured the Early College and Mill Valley Elementary. Vice Principal Katie Morgan at EHS and Principal Kristen Jones prepared a wonderful visit. There's never enough time. You always end up running behind. The senator had proposed House or Senate Bill 166, or excuse me, not to, yeah, 166, House Bill 166. That's not right. It's Senate Bill, and he that bill provides additional opportunities, or has provided additional opportunities for internships for our students. Tammy Cooper, who is our coordinator, had been working to try to get internships set up with a number of businesses in town, but they were reluctant to do that because of child labor laws and because of the expenses that they would incur with having those. And this particular bill addresses both of those concerns. It provides some liability coverage for the businesses, and also provides a way for them to be reimbursed for some of the expenses that they receive. And that's resulted in a number of businesses stepping up and saying, we would like to participate, set up an internship program in our school. And Tammy had an opportunity to talk with the senator specifically about how the bill was benefiting Marysville. Our superintendent was able to join us. And I don't, Diane, I don't know if you have any observation or comments that you'd like to make.
I thought it was a great conversation, and I really was excited that there was someone wanting to listen to what kind of barriers that they could break down for schools to do the things that they needed to do for kids. And he was very eager. He asked me for, you know, a list pretty shortly, and he said, you know, we'll work to get those things done, that your job's kind of hard enough, and we want to knock down some barriers so schools can achieve. So I thought it was very promising. I did request that I could have till summertime to get that list together, but I'll be forwarding that on.
Yeah. Overall, I think it was a great visit, and the purpose is really to educate our legislators as to what's happening at the forefront of education. I think that particularly the center's eyes were opened. He owns some car dealerships up in the Tiffin area, and so we made a point of getting him to the auto tech area, and he walked in there and he was just looking around, and his eyes got real big, and he got very engaged with the students in that particular area of the building. We also had three marvelous students that led the tour, and as we were going around, each of them was able to share how their experiences at the early college had set them up to be successful for the next stages in life, and just the confidence that they exuded, their ability to communicate well, and how they presented themselves overall was just a testament to everything that's taking place in our school districts. When we went to Mill Valley, I asked specifically to look at the autism unit because special ed is something that I think our district does extremely well, and the fact that in the autism classes, students had individual learning profiles for each one of them that they were able to progress at their own pace, that they were constantly being challenged to improve, I think reflected well on our school district, but I think it also caught the attention of both the senator and the representative, because hopefully they recognize that we value every single child in our district, and our efforts to provide a personalized approach to educate each child, as the Constitution says, to educate each child to the fullest of its ability, that child's ability, was being done. And so hopefully there will be some fruitful activity that takes place in the future Hopefully we built a stronger relationship with those two legislators that may pay off. I provided some other information. There's a short window between now and sometime in early June, about the 8th of June, in which the legislature will be in session. There's a note on the selection for the new superintendent of schools for the state, someone that was working with Columbus State and also served as superintendent in Reynoldsburg previously. There's information about bills that we have talked about that were signed into law and some others that are newly proposed. And I would point out the last one, Senate Bill 329, to provide a full or partial tax exemption to developers and owners of newly constructed homes within specific areas during the construction period and for 10 years after the home is occupied. And we have had discussions about TIFs. This would change that in not a very positive way for school districts. And so there's still some education to do in Columbus. So we'll keep working on that. So that's my report.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, what's the status of 166? Is it?
It was passed and signed by the governor, so it is in law now, and businesses, Tammy is talking to businesses that may qualify, and she's educating herself on all the pieces of the law so that she knows which businesses ought to investigate this and which businesses may not qualify because of their business structure.
So another follow-up on mm-hmm. that. Would the school system qualify as a business for that? Because I can see a lot of potential for...
Well, I'll defer to the other end of the forum. So,
yeah, my understanding was no. In a session I just had over a briefing, but there's some pushback on that from school systems, so I would say hang tight and let's see. But under this guidance, it's my understanding, no.
I see some opportunities in lawn care and bus maintenance and fleet maintenance for students.
I agree.
So, and even mechanical repairs, so...
Yep. Good point. Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. Let's see, next we have our safety report.
Yes, thank you. I do not have a report tonight, but for any parents watching, I think it's just summer's approaching, so it's always wise to have conversations with our students about drug prevention and general safety with traffic, driving before the summer fun begins, so make sure we remain drug-free and buckle up and do everything we need to do to stay alive and healthy. Thank you.
Strangers, too. Think about, like, younger kids and with other people walking around, just those reminders that you kind of you forget to remind your kids about. So thank you, Mr. Ferguson, for that reminder. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the draft minutes from our April 21st regular meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Any comments, corrections, revisions to the minutes? None. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve the treasurer action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments, Todd?
Just a couple things I would point out. One, on the appropriations, there's a large increase there for the bond fund, which is related to our bond refunding. And then also on the cash flow, I think it always looks a little odd when you see a big negative on the receipt line. That's not an error, and it's not that we're losing money. That's just an accounting from when we get the real estate tax We get advances prior to the final settlement, and that's just kind of a reconciliation from those advances when we get that actual final settlement. And I won't say any more before I end up getting too far into the weeds whenever I start talking about that. So,
okay. I would also note there are a lot of nice donations on there as well. So we always want to make sure we thank all of those people, businesses that are supporting a variety of different programs in our district. And obviously the five-year forecast is on here. And again, just looking through all of the description that you give us along with that five-year forecast, I appreciate the detail, the explanations going into how you're creating this forecast, and also would comment on the very impressive accuracy that you've had in the past. I know that gives me a lot of comfort, and it should give our community some comfort as well, knowing that we have a treasurer and treasurer staff that has done such a great job in the past. So any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve Lauren Devine for literacy cohort for professional development via the literacy grant up to $600.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
I will second then.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments or questions? Roll call then, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Abstain. Motion carries. And I would now accept a motion to approve these superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. There's a lot to go over here, Mrs. Allen.
Right. So I thought I'd just highlight some things, if that's okay. As I mentioned before, summer school numbers are high, so you're going to see a lot of summer school staff. I want to remind you that the policies on for this month are up for approval. We have the graduating class of 2022, so they're very excited for you to make an approval. We have all the handbooks into next school year. As well, you're going to see an increase in school lunches by 50 cents across the board. So for a while, we, because of federal dollars, haven't had a fee, but as everyone knows, expenses are going up, so that will be a 50-cent increase. And then breakfast will be $2 across the board. The expense is really the same. I'm not sure why the price was different before, but it levels everyone out at $2. As well, student fees are listed. I would like to note that the student fee section, all student fees are staying the same as last year or actually decreasing in two buildings. So I'm pretty proud of that. I know the economy is a struggle, so we're pleased with that. And also you have several FFA trips, June, September, and October. Otherwise, most of the things on there are pretty standard pieces.
Questions or comments?
Yeah, I want to speak to the meal prices. I really appreciate that the fees for the buildings. I know bun sold goes down $11, I think, next year, which is wonderful. But I did want to point out that the breakfast fees had not been increased since 2008. The last increase of any kind was 2015-2016 school year. So it's been a few years. I think everybody recognizes that prices are up in the grocery store, but you also have additional costs that are being passed on through the delivery services and all those kinds of things. So I applaud the school district, even though there is the need for an increase. I applaud the school district for making sure that that's reasonable and that it's not becoming frequent, that we've been able to hold the line for a long time, and we've reached a point where we can't do that in the future. So thank you.
Any other comments? Nope. Okay, great. Then roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept comments or questions from board members. Mr. Smith.
All right. It's the end of the year, and so there's a lot of things that are taking place, and I know that the seniors are excited, and I hope that the biggest part of their excitement are for the things that are coming. Up at Raymond, Girls on the Run, which we had mentioned, was able to compete in a 5K in Columbus, and they had a lot of support doing that. Some of our cheerleaders went up to their practice and so forth, and that was a great opportunity. Principal Lentz mentioned that they had a number of field trips to the zoo and COSI and to the symphony, and I know throughout all of the buildings that getting kids experiences outside of the walls of the classroom is incredibly important for them and for their growth and development. I saw that Bunsell made a note that we had a Bunsell student that won a college scholarship. Career Connections student Morgan Cleveland earned a $1,000 college scholarship through the state career-based intervention program. She completed an application, wrote an essay about her career goals, and was able to win this award. And that I think is an amazing accomplishment. And I also would like to thank again our SRO officers, Joe Petzinger and Josh Dallahunt. They are some of the best examples of great police work in our community. We have replacements for them. We have others that are continuing to work for us. The SROs in our school district are absolutely amazing individuals. And last point, because it's getting long here, we have 11 students that are going to be graduating this year with the Global Scholars Diploma. And it's a three-year program, takes a significant commitment, and Abby Griffith had an opportunity to speak to over 1,000 attendees at a conference in Columbus, and she won a $1,000 scholarship for her Global Scholars project. So, tremendous program. She appeared on 10TV talking about that. I just think that program's marvelous.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Savage.
I want to say thank you again to our SROs, all of our SROs, but, you know, most especially to the ones that are leaving us. I think they play a strong role within our school community, building relationships with students, and we appreciate them being there. Thanks to Dr. Phil, he's really done a lot of work in Marysville, Union County, and with the schools. That is greatly, greatly appreciated. I want to say thank you again to Creekview for their presentation. I appreciate the good work they're doing to expand the vocabulary of our young people. And thank you to the young people that presented on their project. I thought that is a marvelous project, especially with such tight time frames. I think it's a great way to build empathy and understanding K through 12. So appreciate their work.
Thank you. Mr. Keck.
As usual, Mr. Smith has covered just about everything very, very well, and what he didn't cover, Mrs. Savage covered very, very well also. So I would second all that very well.
Thank you, Mr. Keck. Mr. Ferguson.
Thank you. Just to show appreciation to the students who had their military signing day. I think that's a great example of service, and thank you for the district for recognizing those students. And that is all for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson. Okay. Ms. Allen.
The only thing I would add is just a thank you again and congratulations to all the retirees tonight. It's always a fun night, but certainly, as you mentioned, over 200 years of work walking out the door is so admirable. So thank them. And then the end of the school year, next week will be field days at our elementaries. If you haven't ever been there, it's complete chaos, but so much fun. So just excited to wrap things up and for Saturday night.
Great. Thank you. And I'll just, you know, obviously want to thank Creekview and SROs and Dr. Phil. I have to laugh because Dr. Phil lives across the street from me, and he was saying, he goes, you know, every time we set something out at the end of the driveway, your husband comes over and takes it. So we have some of their lawn chairs, so I'll always remember him, right? I just wanted, you know, I also love those student presentations. Also wanted to remind the board, you know, we had talked about end of year, we talked about our evaluation process and setting goals for next year. So that the end of year evaluations and goal setting time frame is in kind of June through August, so please check your calendars, and if you wouldn't mind letting me know when you know you're going to be out of town, so we can try and get maybe a couple special meetings scheduled. We'd also talked about revising our evaluation process instead of doing a formal mid-year and end of year, switching it to just doing a formal end of year and having more informal small meetings, like maybe one or two board members having a coffee. And I guess it's my thought that new process will start this fall. So, you know, we'll do our end of year, develop our goals, and then work on setting up a schedule maybe every 2 or 3 months to have a couple of us sit down with Diane and Todd and just kind of check on the progress, see how things are going, if there's anything we can do to help out. So again, just let me know when you know you're going to be out of town over the next several months. I also wanted to comment, I really appreciated our public participation speakers from FFA. It's exciting to hear everything that they're doing, and you know, we see the results of Bunsold growing the corn. I'm looking forward to some roasted corn this fall. And just their excitement to share what they're doing. And so I think they're just kind of taking it to the next level. We've seen a lot of recognition from FFA as well as our arts. We had the top 25 in over 8,000 submissions from the high school, the Governor's Art Show. So there's just been a real focus on culture and personalized learning. So I appreciate all that, and I also wanted to point out that the Chamber is sponsoring a Business Impact Breakfast next Thursday, I believe, May 26th at 8 a.m. It's going to be at Memorial Health Pavilion, a city, county, and village update. Those are free, but there is limited seating, so you can just go to the Chamber website if you'd like to register for that. And I think finally, I'll just thank those retirees again. We just can't thank them enough, and hopefully we'll see them throughout the district in the future. I know some of them will want to stay involved in some way, and I know they're all going to be involved in our community. So thank them very much. And with that, a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Keck and second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. We're adjourned at 7:36. Thank you.